Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On yesterday's call, we started talking about prosperity's priorities. Before we finish the teaching, let's do a brief review. Number one, God's law of release. Poverty and lack are not accidents, and neither is prosperity. Strict spiritual laws govern both. The spiritual law of release says be willing to release for increase.
I like that. Release to increase. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Proverbs 11, starting with verse 24 and ending with 25 in the Message Bible, says, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped."
God makes it clear. If we're generous, our money will increase and we'll be prosperous. If we're stingy and hoard too much of our money, then as proper, we'll be poor. God's spiritual law will not change, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us feel.
Number two, put God first. Obviously, and there's no doubt about it, God needs to be first, should be first. Not a single soul in all of Christianity would disagree with that statement. I don't know of one doctrine, really, one church, one preacher, one teacher, or one Christian philosopher who would argue with that principle. To make a major breakthrough in a spiritual area of finances, our spiritual priorities must be absolutely straight. God needs to be first in every aspect of our life, not just in a passive agreement, but in daily actions.
Hallelujah. Number three, tithe off the top. A major question many Christians ask as they begin to put their financial house in order is this: do I tithe before or after I pay my bills? Many people will pay all their bills, and then, after all their financial obligations are met, they will tithe to God out of the remaining money. That may be a common practice, but it's not what the Bible teaches.
In Deuteronomy 26, verse 2, it says, "Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put in a basket, and shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there."
Now let's continue. Number four, giving precedes receiving. We've been learning that God sets priorities. Now we want to emphasize one of the most elementary priorities of all. Giving always precedes receiving.
It's called sowing and reaping.
That's it. The world would have us believe that we receive first, then we give. So many times I've heard good, honest, sincere Christians say, "Oh, Brother Harold, when I receive $1 million, I'm going to give a large amount to the work of the Lord. You just watch. I know I will." Well, the Bible contradicts that bit of human reasoning. It says that a person must be faithful in a little, or he'll never have the opportunity to be faithful in a lot.
Luke 16, verse 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." So we need to listen to the next sentence very carefully. Waiting for abundance before starting to give will not ensure the giving of large gifts. It will actually ensure just the opposite. You will not end up giving at all. First things just come first. And if we want to receive from God, we must first begin to give. The Bible clearly teaches that principle over and over again throughout the entire book. In Luke 6:38, we read that yesterday, it says to give first, then it will be given to you. Actually, pressed down and shaken together. In Malachi 3:10, it says to tithe and give offerings first, then God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us. You know, even an unsaved farmer knows this primary principle. You have to sow before you reap. You never hear a farmer say, well, I'm not going to do any planting just yet. I'm going to wait for God to just give me that harvest. First, we know that he has to simply plant his plants, or he's not going to receive a harvest. It's as simple as that. He knows he has to plant the seed first, no matter how few he has, and then he will get back a harvest multiplied by those seeds. Does the Lord give us salvation first and then you give your heart to him? That's not the way it works and never will. First, we give our hearts to the Lord, and then he gives us eternal life. God's principle of first planting, then reaping, is firmly entrenched in every aspect of life, not only here on planet Earth, but from Genesis to Revelation, from farming to the propagation of species. Giving always goes before receiving.
Number five, giving in abundance. We may consider ourselves as generous givers. We may be faithful with the tithe and even give generous offerings when prompted by a well-presented need or moved upon by the Holy Spirit. But we want to encourage you to enter into a whole dimension of giving, a new dimension of giving and receiving. We want you to experience a bold new realm far beyond what seems to be substantial to you. Your giving horizon, the highest, greatest, most blessed experience of giving and receiving you can imagine, is merely the starting point. A whole new experience can begin to take the form in your spirit today. Satan is trying to keep you, me, us, from rising above our current level of giving. He wants to keep us in a low state of awareness, far short of what God intends for us, far short of what we desire to attain. Now, it's a strategic time to make up our minds when we're going to think some bold new thoughts and make some financial breakthroughs. Once we fully realize the new level of abundance that God has planned for us, we can rise out of our current dimension, reach far beyond a more generous level. Not only that, no matter where we are, it's time to move to a new dimension of giving.
Number six, proper priorities bring blessings. Proper priorities bring blessings. Only one time in the Bible do we read when someone inquired of Jesus how to be saved. The one who posed this question was a rich young ruler. And he said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You could find that in Luke 18. As amazing as it may seem, Jesus preached this money sermon to that young boy. He told him to go sell all he had, give to the poor, and follow him. Why would Jesus say such a thing? Do you think it was because he wanted the young fellow to be poor? No, of course not. It was because Jesus wanted him to get his priorities straight. If the young ruler had understood and agreed to give up his riches for the sake of the gospel, Jesus would have given him riches back so greatly increased, it would have amazed him. And you can read Mark 10, verses 29 and 30 to prove that. In Scripture, the Scripture teaches that it is impossible to go broke giving to God. Excuse me, giving to the poor. And that's what he told him to do. Or giving to God, too.
Right.
But in Proverbs 19, verse 17, because he does the same, it says when you give to anybody, you're actually giving to the Lord.
That's right.
Proverbs 19, though, 17 says, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will be he pay him again. That's amazing. But remember, God must be our first priority. When his priority is established over our money, the Lord can begin to do some mighty things in our lives and in our finances. Remember, God gives us the power to get wealth. as it says in Deuteronomy 8:18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. God wants us to establish his covenant, and that means that we will be a blessing to other people. Genesis 12, verse 2 says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So we need to go boldly beyond just being a blessing. We can't be a blessing to others until we have personally been blessed by God.
Number 7, the cost of living in heaven. How much do you think it'll cost to live in heaven for 1 year? Will you have to buy food? Is the rent expensive? Will there be any doctor bills? Of course not. Everyone knows there'll be no need for money in heaven. Money will have no purpose there. Obviously, material blessings will become perfectly worthless once we've entered into the pearly gates. Hallelujah. So let us ask a more serious question. Why does the Bible speak of an increase of our money and material wealth? Why does the Bible talk about prosperity at all? Surely God knows that money, wealth, and prosperity have to do with the activity going on right now, right here on planet Earth. Prosperity, money, and wealth are for this realm. Please listen carefully to the words of Jesus as he promises an increase of goods beyond our wildest dreams. Not after we get to heaven, but right here, right now.
In Mark 10, verses 29 and 30, Mark 10, 29 and 30, it says, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, and in the world to come, eternal life.
House with lands will have no value in eternity. The only time a new house will mean anything to you is now in this time. Such things have no worth in heaven. Yes, God is deeply concerned about our spiritual blessings, but he's also vitally concerned about our material blessings now and in this life. And that is, in fact, a very good reason to get our spiritual priorities in order.
And keep them in order.
Absolutely. It's one thing to get them in order, but you have to work to keep them in order. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldhearing.com. Up at the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. Make sure you check out this week's 2-minute video. And until tomorrow morning again at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.